welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Jean Marie.
I guess that makes me Ron.
Okay, sure.
and I'm Lita.
Collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are welcoming back to the show Casey Hirsch. Casey, you may remember, is a licensed clinical social worker, competitive Latin ballroom dancer, author, and the founder of Light My Sparkle. You can find her at CaseyHirsch.com, and we'll have a link for that on our website. She's here today to discuss her new book, I Am Paso. It is a cat that teaches kids ways to turn around difficult situations. Hello, Casey. Thank you ever so much for joining us again today.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure.
Hi, Casey. This is Ron. It's nice to hear from you again. I'm just going to jump right into it. How are the stressors of today different from those that children faced, say, 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah, well, you know, stress has always been present in children's lives. But today we're flooded with digital images and fast-paced images, providing children less time to pause, reflect, slow down, and process the world. So children also experienced an elevated threat and fear response post-pandemic.
Sure.
And we've seen increases in school shootings. And locally, even in our small rural town, we have had bomb threats. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of toxic stress, and children have less outlets for releasing this stress than they used to. It's more complicated because funding has been cut for arts and music programs, and generally children play outdoors less. They have less time, you know, carved out to use their imagination, pretend, dig in the dirt, play in the grass and trees, and children spend more time in front of screens, less time moving their bodies, and really just less time being kids. And these outlets are really crucial to offset toxic stress. So I do think these are significant differences from perhaps yours and my childhoods. Yeah, that was a great answer.
Sad but true, unfortunately. So that being said, at what age do you think that we should start working with children on their coping skills and teaching them ways to approach frustrating situations?
Yeah, good question. I mean, we can't start too early. Prevention is really key. The first 3 years of life are crucial to brain development. And then, of course, the rest of the child's life has really important milestones. So parent and caregiver education is crucial. And frankly, our society does not provide enough resources to pregnant mothers about how to build resilience in their children, which includes emotional intelligence and the ability to overcome adversities and traumas. You know, parents and caregivers need to be working on their own coping skills and how to model healthy coping skills to children, just as much as children need to be learning through modeling and life examples how to turn around difficult situations. So the earlier we teach kids about feelings, how to recognize them in their bodies, how their thoughts connect to their behaviors, and their inner and outer resources to shake off bad situations and turn them around, the more adjusted adults they will become. Okay, but now on the other hand, if children are learning coping skills, problem solving, and de-escalation techniques by watching the adults around them, and you're saying that the adults around them don't have the resources that they need, it seems like we're not going to win.
Yeah, it's really a dilemma, isn't it?
So, yeah.
I mean, we know that children are learning all the time. They learn from adults, caregivers, school teachers, television, social media. Let's not forget elders, which seems to be often forgotten. Children aren't spending as much time with different generations as before. And of course, their community is another crucial place they learn. And then books, like, for example, my book, I Am Paso. This is why it's so important for adults to also have healthy skills to problem solve and not overreact to situations, because children learn from those around them. However,
it's super important that we provide the necessary resources for children to learn these skills, regardless of the adults in their immediate lives. We have a huge responsibility on a community level to provide resources to kids and to give them the support that helps build their assets, confidence, and capacities. We really do often underestimate the power of the community at large.
Okay. So, Casey, how can talking with children about their emotions and their responses and reaction to these emotions, how can that help them prepare to cope with stressful or uncomfortable situations?
Yeah, it's really, there's several parts to it. So we live in a society where we are largely out of touch with just how intricately our minds and bodies are connected. We run around reacting, tasking, stressing, and conventional medicine and even mental health historically has viewed the mind and body as separate entities, not as a holistic system where every part, action, and reaction is connected. We first need to help kids get to know their bodies and connect where they feel emotions and sensations in their bodies. This is often a first step before emotional vocabulary. You know, when we are happy, we feel sensations in our bodies. Maybe it's a tingly feeling of excitement. Maybe our eyes open wide, or we feel that stretch in our mouth of that big smile. When we are angry, some of us feel our fists or jaw clench. Others may feel their heart racing. Our body gives us signals. In the book, I Am Paso, Paso the cat gets very upset when people call him the wrong name. He notices that his face feels hot and his whiskers flitter. This is how Paso experiences frustration. Now, we cannot cope with stressful situations if we don't know that we are stressed. So generally, we need to help kids become more self-aware of their reactions and triggers. Only then can they identify what they can do to turn a situation around. And from this awareness of the body, then we can name feelings, identify coping skills, and begin to connect our thoughts and emotions to our reactions. Because let's not forget that another important point is that the words we say to ourselves and the words we hear also affect our reactions. And I Am Paso is about connecting our mind, body, thoughts, and feelings so that when our mind starts to churn, we can change our thoughts with a shake and a turn. It is empowering to know that when people say mean words to us, we can change the way those hurtful words make us feel by using our own mind and body and resources to counteract it. We are actually always in charge of our internal environments and our minds more than we think.
Okay. Well, how can adults help facilitate conversations about emotions, stress, and problem solving with children?
Yeah, well, adults, teachers, therapists, caregivers, and communities need professional resources to provide them guidance and examples for how to start difficult discussions with kids. They also need resources for how to teach kids about emotions, stress, and problem solving. So this, for me, is the reason why I wrote my children's book. I Am Paso, a cat teaches kids ways to turn around difficult situations. I Am Paso focuses on a variety of incidents in Paso the cat's day, whether at school, home, or in the community, that trigger unpleasant feelings, reactions, low self-worth, anger, not fitting in, and even confusion. How Paso names, understands, and describes his feelings and thoughts in these situations provides relatable examples for adults to discuss with kids. As Paso deals with various conflicts, the story opens the door to exploring with kids and asking the question, what does Paso do? Mm-hmm. Adults can then go one step further and say, when Paso is upset, he uses his shake and turn tools. Now, these tools are the many things that Paso can do to shake off bad feelings and turn them around into something positive. Sometimes Paso steps back to pause and reflect. Other times Paso asks an adult for help or goes to his special spot, safe spot, and listens to music.
We want kids to know their shake and turn tools and when and how to ask them and to access them. Adults can say to a child, hey, let's explore your shake and turn and what you can do when you are having a bad day. So IMPASO provides these opportunities and resources to explore feelings, choices, mind-body connection, self-esteem, personal responsibility, speaking up, and self-care. And it's really important that kids have relatable resources written by clinicians who understand their deepest needs.
Okay. Good answer.
Yeah. Now that we have a bit of background information, it is time to talk about our new initiative. To better serve our listening audience, we are now an affiliate of a major medical supplier here in the United States. You will find affiliate links on our website, Podcast DX. They aim to tailor specific medical supplies and equipment based on your diagnoses to make it less stressful than looking through an entire catalog for what you may need. We are open to your suggestions and will adjust our offerings based on what you, our listeners, find helpful. But now, let us return to our show.
Casey, can you tell us what inspired you to write a book geared specifically towards children from like the ages of like 3 to 10 years of age?
Yeah, well, it's very personal for me. I grew up with a lot of trauma and stress as a child. And at the time, there wasn't an understanding of the connection between adverse childhood experiences, also known as ACEs, and illness, both physical and mental. I suffered from chronic childhood illnesses and anxiety. I went to, you know, hundreds of doctors. I was misguided. I suffered from medical mishaps that almost cost me my life. And after I became a psychotherapist or licensed clinical social worker, I was given the resources I needed to connect the dots of my own life. Now, by then, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease called Crohn's disease. And I discovered that the manifestation of disease in my body was in part driven by early childhood trauma. Now, it's not the whole part, but it's a big piece of consideration when you're thinking about how these illnesses come to be and how to treat them. Mm-hmm. So meanwhile, I was working with kids too, and they were teaching me what they needed to thrive and heal. And my mental health profession and society in general lacks preventive resources that really teach kids what they need to thrive in their early lives and subsequently in adulthood. We just lack ways to help kids feel in control of a world that feels out of control, and also ways for kids to ignite their inner resources or inner powers to cope. So I decided I would write a children's book in the hopes that I can help lay a foundation for kids early in their lives and really help them prevent what I had to go through. Because there are just too many health problems and mental illness in our world, and some of this is preventable.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. And Casey, can you tell us what the publication process has been for you?
Yeah, are you sure you want me to comment on this?
Yeah. Good or bad?
Oh, my. Well, it took 3 years before IMPASO was published. And before that, I had written a book, Running on a Broken Foot, using my life as a case study, a clinical case study to connect trauma, illness, and resilience. I thought my professional background and accolades would help me get an agent and publisher. Nope, not good enough. You really do need tons of social media followers to have any publisher look at you. And it was a very disempowering process. So just like Paso the cat, I took control of my life and feelings, and I chose to go the self-publishing route. I put a hold on my first book, and I immersed myself in my children's book, I Am Paso, because that felt right. Now, self-publishing is not easy. You really do everything yourself, or you hire it out, which is not affordable for most of us. And this has been a true labor of love, with an entire village behind me to see this children's book into the world. My husband illustrated the book. My neighbor, a retired teacher, spent hours with me on edits. My best friend, a therapist, listened to me go over the topics, and we translated them into child-friendly language. And writing the book was really easy compared to facing Amazon. There is a lot of misinformation out there. The publishing business can seem very unethical and focused on money and power. So when you really want to do something for the greater good, you really have to have faith and resilience that your important message is good enough and that you are good enough. Because when I say village, I mean a village. I mean, we had so much support from our small community, asking them to buy the book and to please write a review. And people just, you know, often just don't realize how important these reviews are for an author. And once you figure out how to get the book onto Amazon, then there's another steep learning curve of how do you get the book to rank or get promoted. And so in our case, the first 30 days, I Am Paso had number one hot new release spots in many children's book Amazon categories. And I Am Paso is still on the bestseller list for several other categories. But it really takes people like all of you to help keep the book visible. Because as soon as sales and reviews stop, Amazon forgets about you. And it's really tough to come back. So I'm not trying to discourage people. I'm just saying that people need to go into this author business with realistic expectations and a whole lot of grit. Because, you know, I just at this point really encourage people to support the small author, illustrator, creative teams, because we really need you. And we are competing, you know, with huge publishing powerhouses that just have tons of resources.
All right.
That's some excellent advice. Yeah.
Did you join any local writers groups?
I was blessed to have several very successful local authors mentor me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at the core of it. So, yes, I had lots of input from other writers, really pretty much all around, you know, the country. I would reach out to people. I would ask people, you know, who I could see were visibly having success, say, on Amazon and also in the traditional publishing industry. So, yeah, you got to go to your community and start there, because there's just so many lovely resources to buoy you up and give you advice. And you don't want to write, of course, in a little tunnel. You want extra feedback coming in so that you have objectivity on your own message, too. So, yes, I had a lot of that help.
Great.
And Casey, what was the collaborative process like with your husband, Scott, who illustrated your book?
Yeah, I'm just super blessed with a wonderful, brilliant, and creative husband who is my number one fan. And when I had this crazy idea to write a children's book, I was just thinking about the story, not the illustrations.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, you know, we were fostering Paso and his sister Samba through a local rescue organization. And I just might add on the side, Paso and Samba are named after two of the five Latin ballroom dances, the Paso Doble and the Samba. So we took pictures of the cats to help them get adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we ended up adopting them ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one day I was going through all the pictures we had taken of Paso, and it was so obvious we had already captured Paso's Pasonality. So from there, my husband used his talents to make the real photos of Paso come to life through cartoon illustrations. And every picture of Paso is a real photo of Paso with some obvious embellishments. And overall, this process has really been wonderful for us. But I can say, if your marriage can survive publishing a book together, then you can survive anything. I really just wouldn't be here today if it weren't for Scott rallying for me, wiping my tears, reminding me how much he believes in me and now us. So I'm really proud to say I Am Paso has been a true family collaboration.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. And Casey, could you give us a brief rundown of the four categories of Paso practices and how they work?
Yeah, thanks for asking that, Lita. So I Am Paso is a collection of Paso practices or coping skills and lessons that empower children to connect their minds and bodies. In the story, Paso repeatedly uses a shake and turn to symbolize what he can do to feel better, calm down, and turn around difficult situations. The Paso practices have four categories: things I do, things I say, things I think, and things I notice. When children read I Am Paso, they will see colored paw prints on pages in the book. Children can then go to the PASO practices page in the book and select which PASO practice or shake and turn tool did PASO use to shake off a bad situation and turn it around into something positive. For example, when PASO is mistakenly called Picasso, which makes his fur stand up, he uses the PASO practice Things I Do and uses his special talents and skills to create his own Picasso painting. Most of our coping skills come from these four categories and how we use our mind and body, inner strengths, and community resources to see us through tough stuff. I really encourage all children and adults to make lists and be mindful of things I can do, things I can say, things I think, and things I notice, because this awareness is key to living in a stressful world.
Sure.
So what role have cats played in your life, and how did PASO inspire you to write this book?
One of the greatest gifts I've had in my life since childhood has been the unconditional love from my cat companions. When I was sick, which was often, or felt that I couldn't trust adults in my life, or also just felt really scared and alone, my cats were my teachers, siblings, friends, and safe place. Every child really benefits from having an animal companion, and thankfully, I had one. One way I give back is by fostering rescue cats who are sick, homeless, not socialized, or just need a safe place to help them heal, so they can find loving homes. PASO was, as I mentioned, my foster cat through UC Davis's Orphan Kitten Project.
Okay.
And he was not what we think of when we think of kittens. Cute, playful, and cuddly. Mm-hmm. PASO was traumatized, scared, anxious. He bit, hid, clawed, and ran away. But I knew behind all this trauma, just like with kids, was a wonderful creature who needed patience and unconditional love. So through teaching PASO social skills and how to be confident, I witnessed how kittens are obviously very similar to children. They all need patience, acceptance, the freedom to evolve at their own pace, and the reassurance, I am good enough and I won't leave you. You know, PASO reconnected me to my own childhood and really what children need to thrive. Some children just don't feel safe with adults because adults have hurt them. But animals, and especially in my case, cats, provide a really healthy attachment for kids without harm. So I chose to have PASO the cat as the main character because he similarly represents what it means to overcome adversity and to use the tools required in order to become a confident young person or cat.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
That's actually pretty cool.
And I understand that there's going to be a companion guide for the book online for parents, teachers, clinicians, and such on your website. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, this is something that's really dear to my heart. This companion guide is filled with lesson plans, discussion questions, activities, concepts, and PASO practices to be used in classrooms, clinics, camps, or the home. This guide focuses on developing social-emotional intelligence, coping skills, and mind-body connection, and is based on my own research as well as direct experiences and training working with kids. California State University Chico collaborated with me and conducted focus groups with adults who work with children and also parents to provide me feedback so that the guide will be user-friendly and practical for diverse settings. And for people who want to dive deeper into the meaning behind the book and how to use I Am PASO as a learning tool, this guide is perfect. We are finalizing the layout of the guide right now.
Okay.
I have a lovely high school intern who is working with us, and it will be available soon.
Okay.
And people can go to the link provided in the back of the I Am PASO book and sign up for the guide, and I will email a copy to them as soon as it is available.
Great. And Casey, what is next for you? What are you looking forward to accomplishing in 2024?
Ooh, I have big dreams for PASO the cat.
Okay.
Writing the book is just a small piece of the big picture. And now the work really begins. Mm-hmm. I really wish for I Am Paso to be in every school around the country and for kids to recognize and use their shake and turn tools on a daily basis. I hope that new and seasoned therapists use I Am Paso and the companion guided clinical settings. I would love for every parent to read this book to their child and to join their kids in making the Paso practices a part of their household. I wrote this book not because I wanted to have just a cute cat story, which it is, but because I truly want to make a difference with early interventions in the lives of children and to teach them the tools that I did not learn until I was an adult. I am still working on these Paso practices every day of my life. And just think how different the world would be if kids had this knowledge and awareness. And I'm just going to work really hard to make this happen.
Sounds great.
Yeah, that's great, Casey. Thank you.
Keep that energy going.
So as we wrap up here, how can our listeners get their copy of I Am Paso, A Cat Teacher's Kids' Ways to Turn Around Difficult Situations? And how can they learn more about you?
Yeah, well, they can go to caseyhersch.com, and that's CaseyHersch, caseyhersch.com, my website. And there's an entire section devoted to I Am Paso with even extra activities for kids, character bios, and more. And there's also a picture of Paso driving an Amazon truck that links to Amazon to buy the book.
Oh, nice.
And the book is available on Amazon. There's a paperback, ebook, and hardcover version. The quick link to get to Amazon's page to buy the book is tinyurl.com/buypaso. That's B-U-Y-P-A-W-S-O.
Okay. We can put and link then you for can, that.
Yeah. And you can also find the book on the Barnes & Noble website and other retailers. And really, just feel free to contact me with questions or comments. I really love hearing from all of you.
Excellent.
Great. Well,
thank you so much for joining us again today, Casey.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with all of you.
Likewise. Likewise.
Best to you. If you have any questions or comments related to today's show, you can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com. through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, Pinterest, or Instagram.
As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical treatment or undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this podcast.
Till next week.